This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is the global economy looking a little peaked? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Questions about income inequality aside, there's an emerging question about sustainability and the world economy, not environmental sustainability alone. Can Europe, Asia, emerging markets, and the U.S. sustain the growth we saw in 2017? Some big names in this field are meeting in D.C. starting midweek. Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives will be following this closely.
That's right. This is the semi-annual meeting of the IMF, and it's sort of they update the global outlook and policymakers get together and discuss what's on the radar screen.
Well, the thing to have said until I guess recently is the global economy is super fabulous. I mean, Europe, China, United States, what more could you ask? What possibly might the IMF have to say about this?
Well, that has been the narrative. We had a pretty spectacular year in the global economy with nearly every region picking up steam last year. But the first quarter of the year, there's been a few bumps in the road. So now the question is it just that, bumps in the road, or is the peak of global growth behind us and we're on a more sustained slowdown path?
So we'll be watching for this in Europe. We saw a little bit of slack in the first quarter of this year. And the United States, I mean, in theory, things are going okay, I guess.
That's right. We have a pretty strong tailwind coming from fiscal stimulus that was passed at the end of the year. In general, forecasters think that's going to lead to continued above-trend growth. But now we've got greater uncertainties, both from a possible slowing in the global economy and from trade policy that could just disrupt this rosy picture a little bit.
All right. And the old saw that trees don't grow to the sky. In other words, things go up, but not forever.
And what goes up must come down eventually. So there's nothing terribly alarming on the radar screen, but just a few flies in the ointment.
All right. We'll see what the International Monetary Fund has to say about that later this week. Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you.
My pleasure.
One stock getting clobbered this morning is the advertising and market research conglomerate WPP. The man who built this colossus out of a company that manufactured shopping baskets has left the company under a cloud. If you miss our coverage of that on the air, it'll be in the Morning Report podcast feed later on. WPP stock is down 6% in London now. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar, by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org. By day, Mark Orlowski runs a nonprofit called the Sustainable Endowments Institute. By night, Mark's got a weird but useful hobby. He totally geeks out on an airline frequent flyer numbers and credit card points, and he appears here from time to time to share his secrets. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, David. Good to see you.
I need a pep talk. I try to cash in points on the two airlines I use more often to get other plane tickets. So whenever I look, it's a quadrillion points to wherever I want to go. I just looked New York to L.A. on one of them, 48,500 miles in June. If I fly really late at night, $35,000. That's not a cheap ticket.
That's way too much for a domestic ticket, especially in economy. You definitely want to be looking around, comparing your options, and maybe not just looking at redeeming, you know, some American miles or United miles or Delta miles, but maybe redeeming some of those British Airways miles you have or Singapore Airline miles you have.
What are you talking about? I don't fly Singapore Airlines. I have no miles.
Well, okay, you're probably not alone. But the reality is you don't actually ever have to fly Singapore Airline or even have their credit card to earn and have hundreds of thousands of Singapore Airline miles.
Oh, wait, you're talking about converting your credit card miles to Singapore?
Yeah, exactly. So while you can just spend those points directly to buy a ticket, you also can transfer them, often just one-to-one, to dozens of airlines all around the world, never having to pay anything to transfer those miles other than just converting them. And then you can redeem those Singapore or, say, British Airways miles for flights on United or American.
So one way to start this is to audit your cards and figure out who they partner with, which airline.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't know, you definitely want to sort of be mindful of what airline alliance your preferred airline is. Maybe you're in Detroit, so you probably likely have to fly Delta many places. So knowing that Delta is part of SkyTeam is important, and then looking up what other airlines are part of SkyTeam. Maybe you're in Denver, and Denver is a big hub for United. So knowing United's part of Star Alliance, which happens to be a partner of Singapore and many other airlines.
And it's important to remember that there are general credit cards and there are credit cards that are airline specific, the ones that have the name of your preferred airline printed right there on the card, right?
Absolutely. But it shouldn't probably be the credit card you're pulling out of your wallet on a daily basis to make all your purchases. You'd be much better off, in many cases, of using a different type of Amex card or a different Chase card or a different Citi card that collects those flexible points, because they'll often give you 2 points per dollar or 3 points per dollar or even 5 points per dollar on your travel purchases, whereas those airline credit cards themselves will only give you 1 point per dollar, in rare exceptions, a little bit more.
For many of us, the credit card just stays in our wallet. Mark Orlowski thinks about it. He travels a lot in his capacity as founder of the Sustainable Endowments Institute, a nonprofit. Mark, thank you.
Great to be here.
All right. Never pay fees or interest to an outfit called Bank of America or Merrill Lynch? Well, they add up. B of A this morning reported profits up 30% from a year ago. Some of this is the new tax law. Some of this is the higher interest rate environment in general, allowing their rates to go up higher. The stock is flat at the moment, as some on Wall Street are wanting even more. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.